Megan was Moya Sanya, and it's the fact that they also said we have a card to talk to them, but the mindset they have to realize that it's close that they are zecha to have a wonderful kabul like this in their house. Also, the Chavis of Avos and the Chesbin, I think, Chesbin F is Dalit, or Hey, says that if a person would teach someone Torah, the Hakarat Torah to that person would be tremendous. So, as you do it, that Misal is being Marvis Torah to Harvey in the life, and even I benefit from what he has to say, so it's a tremendous Hakarat Torah that's upon us to have to restore. As you do it from Chazal, the Yevonim and the Machama of the Yevonim against the Chasunayim was that the Yevonim dressed the guf. The Yevonim is beauty and strength. Anybody handicapped has no purpose in life. Anybody old can accomplish. I heard the original said they used to take old people and take them out to the forest, throw them into the snow, and if they survived the night, so they were ready to live, so they took them back home. But other than that, Ikka is the goof and how much you, as you still mentioned, how much you accomplished. And the Yid was in the summer. And the Mesiavnim with the Yevonim together went against the Yidin to make it that Engel Chelik Lokei Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, the Chasunayim were Moitzen Ephes, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu sold it. If you're Moitzen Ephes for him, so then he's going to be Masa, you'll make Nisim. And the truth is, that's how we exist throughout all the Doris, is Vermeis and Nefesh. And each generation has its own Mesias Nefesh. 100 years ago it was Siberia, and 50 years ago my grandfather was in Siberia, and was Askala, and today it's a whole different ball game of Mesias Nefesh. And, you know, it's getting up in time for Shacharis is Mesias Nefesh, staying time to stay there. I was an American this summer, and I was I took a car service to Long Beach, so I had an Israeli taxi driver chew my ear off for an hour, back and forth. And he was telling me, I said, I married America, we went to Eretz Yisrael. So he tells me, your wife comes from America, and she moved to Eretz Yisrael? Tzarech ladat. Ishtecha zahav. That's what he told me. He says, no, not spoiled, zahav. He spoke to me in Hebrew most of the time. You know, I speak more Hebrew to him than anybody else. But the Mesias Nefesh in our generation is a different type of Mesias Nefesh than a Mol. And the Goyim, more so in this generation, have the Nakuda of being stressing the Guf. On the way back from the when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was on the tender to Yerushalayim, so I had, I don't know, the honor of sitting next to a Protestant minister. And so I figured, you know, I sit next to him, so I asked him, what does he do? He says he's a Protestant minister, and he has a congregation of about 250 congregants, and that's in the Midwest, and they have a lot of people like that. So he's telling me how he gives two sermons on Sunday, because there's the old, and the more modern crowd doesn't like the same style. I said, what's the modern crowd, what's not modern crowd? So he tells me the old crowd likes the organ, and the modern crowd likes the piano. And he used the piano for the sermon. And he told me there's another milo of having a sermon, because the one with the piano was earlier, because the people of Congress have to go to the Chicago Bears game, and they have to make it, and it's very important to them, so therefore they want to go. So I asked him, what do you do about that problem for yourself? You know, he can't go, he has to go to the next sermon. So I figured he would tell me, it's my dignity, I'm above that. So he told me, I'm really a Green Bay Packer fan, and I don't have that problem. So, the guy, however they look, whatever size, whatever position, the goof is there by them. And he's trying to tell me that they have extracurricular studies for 2 years, from like 13, 14, like we have the bar mitzvah, he's telling me, so they have it by them. And they try to teach their religion at 13, 14 years old. So the problem is that it's hard to get the parents to send to these programs because they're busy sending their children to extracurricular sports, being involved in sports, and it's very important for them, and it's very hard to get them to go. See, even now, Goyim are involved in the goof. And I remember I grew up in Florida, and swimming was a very great deal. See, the 2-year-old swimming and 4-year-old take a child throw in the water, and it starts naturally swimming, and then that's when they start, Olympics, and someone told me he saw in a medical transcription of a girl that was homeschooling in order that the child can go to the gymnasium as many hours as possible during the day. And you have these people that someone told me is a person who, in order he's trying to run for Olympics or for an athlete, so he wakes up in the morning, he first thing he wakes up and drinks certain juice, and then he does certain exercises, then he drinks something else, and he does that. And throughout the day, that's what we see with the machoma of the goyim, and to even the effect on us, and the hashpa, and we have to counterattack the hashpa. Now, the smog really says this is in his Hagdoma to Sefer Mitzvah. He wrote Sefer Mitzvah. He writes an Hagdoma, which is a chizik to the Bnei Golis of Spain. He writes there that there's a behema and a malach. And a person is a mixture of the behema and the malach. And there's a constant mechama. The guf wants to override the behema, the malach, and the malach wants to override the guf. And there's a constant mechama, and he says, nobody ever knows who wins the mechama until he dies. He comes to Shemayim and see if he won that mechama or not. So I happened to have been 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, in Shari Ezra at the store, the grocery store. I stopped over there, and the computer broke. I was waiting in line to pay, and the computer broke. So the cashier, the machine over there didn't work. So the worker there said, you know, 2 years together. So I'll tell you a fart. Tell you something. So one of the things he told me was this nakuda that there's a fight between the guf and machama. He said I heard over from Adam Gadol that you don't see the world, you don't see machama. Most people are happy with whatever they're doing, and they, no, you see machama. So Adam Gadol said that because by most people, the guf won already. And it's over already, and only by a few meals, and they always have this machlokes back and forth between themselves, always fighting, as the Chaim Vital and Shai Kedusha says, the guf is not the person, it's just a lavush, and the tachas is the neshama. And again, in our generation, the Mesirat Nefesh is, you know, if a person do chazara, everybody knows that chazara is very hard. Someone told me the letter Chazanish says that even it's mamash bitter sometimes to do chazara. Waking up time for Shacharis is a fight against the guf. A Shabbos table, Shabbos itself, is it chatzil lachem or chatzil lachem, or is it chatzil Hashem also? It's a constant battle between the guf and the neshama, back and forth. How is the person spending his time? And, you know, the person could, you know, he finishes up taisis, he finishes the shachar taz, or whatever the Maariv Kohen says, so now he has another half hour, he doesn't know what to do. So he has to chazal again the shach. Maybe, yeah, but maybe not. It's always a battle. So I go home and start supper earlier or start lunch earlier. It's always a machama between the guf and the shama. And whatever a person is mois and nefesh, especially in davening, I heard the people, the Adam Gold say that by in davening, a person reads the bulletin board the most by davening. He reads all the new sales and new everything he's doing is always doing davening. Why? Because the guf was not interested in saying the same words every single day. You know, learning is something different every day. It's more geschmack, but it's the same every single day. And this is what we see in Nesa Chanukah was to give over, to more have a shaykhah tar in the shalom, and give over and be much nefesh and give up guf. Now I saw a story in the Sefer Drashot HaMagid that brings out this nekuda. It's a couple hundred years ago. The story goes that there was a kufa that in Eretz Yisrael in Shalayim there was a famine and there was a tremendous aeneas. So they sent a yid to go collect money in Chutz Laaretz. Instead of calling him the Shmuel, he went to Italy. And it was, you know, in those days, traveling was, there was pirates, and the ships weren't so sturdy as they are today. And finally, after a month of traveling, he gets to where he has to go, to Italy, and it's Erev Shabbos. He doesn't know where he's going to do, where he's going to stay for Shabbos. And there's all good stories to happen, that someone just happened to ride by, and this person had a beautiful, beautiful wagon. He opens up the door and says, "Hello, my name is Chaim. What are you doing here?" Shmuel tells him what he's doing here and what he has to do, and he says, "Please come to me for Shabbos, and I'll help you out collect money for the Yishuv and Eretz Yisrael." He goes to the house, sees a beautiful mansion, every room is beautiful, and poked in the dining room, there's this old broken glass with dirt, and it's green with old age. Like, what is this doing here? It doesn't belong in this beautiful dining room. It doesn't say anything. Shabbos comes, and he keeps looking. What is this ugly thing doing on the table? So Chaim says to him, Shmo, I see you're bothered by this thing. I want to tell you something. The fact that you see I'm Chaim turning mitzvahs today wasn't always like that. See, I grew up in Holland, and when I was a young boy, my parents told me that our grandfather lived here in Rome, Italy. He has a job, he has a business, and he's getting older, and it's hard for him to keep up the business himself. And if I don't go and help him out, then the whole business will fall apart. So my parents told me that I have no brayer. So I came to Rome, Italy, and I helped my grandfather, and I repainted the whole store, and I refurbished it, and I took care of it, and soon we started picking up. And within a year, we started making profits. And then a couple of years afterwards, we started opening other stores, and we were making a lot of money. And my grandfather was really not doing anything except signing and making the final decision. And Bahia Yoim, grandfather was nifter, and so it left over to me. So it really didn't change too much. I was taking care of it before, I'm taking care of it now. But something did change. When my grandfather was alive, Chaim said, he made sure that I would do every mitzvah bediktuk, Shabbos, Tefillah, Torah. And now I had no one on top of me. So first went to Mincha with a minion, Shachris with a minion, Maariv with a minion, and Shabbos without a minion. Then went Tefillin. And finally I wasn't Shomer Shabbos at all. And in the beginning I used to walk by the shul. Once in a while I walked by the shul, I felt a little guilty. But at the end I also stopped feeling guilty. And I got married to a lady that had my ideas. And we had children. We had children. We sent them to Goyish school. No Shachris, nothing to do with Jesus Christ at all. So Chaim says that one day I was walking at Erev Shabbos, and I see a boy on the floor crying next to a bottle of oil. He's crying bitterly. I said, I had Rachmanis, I walked over, I said, what's going on? He wouldn't answer, I had to calm him down. And he says to me, us Jews, I have no remnants of a Yid, so he couldn't tell. So us Jews have a holiday tonight called Hanukkah, and our house, we have no money. So what my father does to get oil is he collects puta after puta for months at a time to rail to buy oil. And I came home from cheder, and my father says, tells me, I want you to take the money, go to the store, buy the oil, be very careful, and bring it home to be kind Mrs. Hanukkah. So I'm so happy, of course. When I was scared, I knew Achrayus. So the little boy said, I went to the store and I was holding the pitcher of oil, and I was looking at it to make sure it wouldn't drop on my hands. I wasn't watching where I was going, and I stepped over a stone, I tripped, and I broke the bottle, and I've been here for hours crying because I don't know how to go home. I don't know how to go home anymore. What can I tell my father? I don't have the oil. So Chaim thinking to himself, I can't believe it. Here I am, one of the richest people around. I would climb every single mitzvah of a hiddur, and it bothers him tremendously today. He can't do one mitzvah, and he says it. There's something, I gotta change myself. This can't die. I feel so guilty. So I pulled out 100 lira. I gave him 100 lira to buy oil, more than enough. And I said, I'm gonna take home the bottle as a remembrance to be Mary. Okay, so I took it home. As it is, the Yitzhara said to me, Mr. Felach, you don't have to, just because you saw someone do a mitzvah. So I started wearing off the hashvah, and the next week, I was walking in the street, and I saw a sign that the drasha is a magid saying a drasha in shul on Shabbos. I figured, maybe it's a simon for me. Okay, I'll go, no commitment, I'm just going to live, I'll hear what I have to say. And, if I'm inspired to say it, if not, I'll keep the way of living. So you go to the shul, and the magid says, starts the parsha of Yigash. And he brings down mice with Yosef, that Yosef puts back the goblet into the knapsack of a Binyamin. And Yehuda came back to Yosef and said to him the following. He said, the pasuk, Eich Ela, Ovi Venari Ani Yitanu, Pen Ere Berav, Asher Yimsa Esavim. He told him, Yehuda told Yosef, you can't do this, son. Binyamin is the youngest child. If I don't bring back Binyamin to our father, then who knows what's going to happen to our father. The Maggid stopped a second and said, Rabbeisai, how are we going to return what our father gave us? As Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us an Neshama Tahira, and we took it, and we made it Shmutz with Havli Olam Hazeh. How are we going to return this Neshama to Avinu Shel HaShamayim? And when Chaim heard this hit him like an arrow in his heart. And he's thinking, and he remembers now the sight of that little boy who can't see, go back. How can I go back to my father? I broke the shemen, the pitcher of shemen. How can I go back to my father? And he did a bonus. And what did I do? The maze, without any caring, I took my whole neshama and I trashed it and I ruined it. I said that he couldn't. His own is spoil, his own is iron, he's miyad chayz b'tshuva. And he told Rav Shmuel, that's why I keep this vial in front of me to remind me that I want to return my neshama to Kadosh Baruch Hu, tahar v'naki. Now, the maitre to the maitre, there's another different maitre, the maitre of Chavetz Chaim, short maitre, but he once went to different versions, the way I heard it from Moshe Einstein, is how that the Chavetz Chaim came to the yeshiva and said, after the Suda Friday night, I went to Olam to come to my house. I have to tell him something. So I thought, Chavetz Chaim is going to get a Mashiach. Who knows what he's going to say? Who knows? I came to the house, it was packed, not a sound. And the Chavetz Chaim says, opens the Siddur, says, we say da'at, we say tefillah in the morning, Neshama, Sinasatabi, Tahirihi, Ata Verasa, Ata Yitzarta, Ata nafachtabi. Then he said, Ata osid lachzira, Ata osid litlonemeni. Ata osid litlonemeni. Then he's going to take away the neshama. Everybody's going to eventually going to die. And the Chavetz, what? Right. And the Chavetz Chaim said, ulachzira bi. The Chavetz Chaim says, however the neshama leaves this world, with all the chataim and all the shmutz, you're going to get the same neshama back. And if you care for your neshama and you care for yourself, then make sure that you don't make it so, you fill it up with tire and mitzvah. Because it's going to be a chzirabi. So this is man where the mitzvah, the inyan of Hanukkah is mesiras nefesh. A little more pushing, a little more trying. So the mitzvah, we all b'nei, we all know that eventually we're going to turn our neshama. And who doesn't want the neshama to turn back to them, Naki Vitara?